Open our Bibles tonight, going to John chapter 4. And let's just get right into this and read the first five verses, John 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, as we begin this, let it be known, therefore the Lord. Praise God. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that we know that Jesus is Lord. Thankful to the Lord, praise God, that sweet John here writing, he is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. And thanks be to God, Jesus knows the heart. And he knows, obviously, because he's God. And we see here, it wasn't Jesus baptizing. We spoke about that a couple weeks back. But it was his disciples that were baptizing. But you'll notice here that, see, the Pharisees wanted to make something of it. They wanted to stir something up here. And we had hint of it a couple weeks back that mainly we can see that they were maybe trying to stir something up in jealousy to pit maybe Jesus against John the Baptist, those types of things. We saw even how John the Baptist's disciples, those ones that were with him, came and they were a little bit offended that John wasn't getting any of the recognition that it was Jesus. See, they didn't understand. And thanks be to God that John was such a true messenger. And he said, oh no, remember this, guys. I'm not even willing to latch his shoes. He's the Lord. And thanks be to God, as he said, behold, cometh the Lamb of God. And thank the Lord for that testimony that was so prevalent in sweet John the Baptist. But you can see that they were trying to stir something up. Maybe they were even trying to emphasize the sign or the act of baptizing, or baptism, I should say, instead of praising the Word of God. And know this, brothers and sisters. See, the enemy is very good at trying to take the Word of God and make it something that it's not. Take the Word of God to try to twist it, in a sense, trying to get you to go by feeling instead of by faith, which is by the Word of God. And you think of what man has twisted baptism to be. Every religion pretty much has their own angle on baptism. There's many, as you know, that believe that the act of baptism is exactly what saves you. And we know that that's not true. Appreciated our baptism that we had here the other night. Brother Joe made it very well known. Thanks be to God. If you don't accept Christ Jesus as Savior, if you would be baptized, you would go in a sinner and you'd come out a wet sinner. And that's the truth. And it's so sad that people do not want to hear and listen to the Word of God, but they want to adhere to an act. You think about people that have taken and twisted baptism to do it to babies. You won't find that in the Word of God. They'll twist it that, well, if you get baptized in our church, then that's the real baptism. I think bottom line is, Lord, thank you, Jesus, we need the truth. And we need to adhere to the truth, and we need to stand by the grace of God in the truth. But here we have that Jesus left Judea. And that's a very precious thing in itself right there. Judea means to be praised. That wonderful name means to be praised. And he went back to Galilee, it says, or is going to go back to Galilee. And Galilee means the circuit, again, as we've spoken about, basically the plan of God, the will of God. And really let that speak to us. God help us never to linger in a triumph. We do need to forget those things which are behind. There's a lot of wonderful highlights. Matter of fact, our whole life is full of them. When we look to the Word of God, even when we're in great trial, and even when we've had great failure, we understand that the Lord in His faithfulness uses these things. But God help us to not remain in the triumph. God help us not to just remain in a sense of necessarily, well, I need to be in this place of praise. I always want to be in the place of praising God, but I don't want that one glory to be my trophy. As the Word of God says, from glory to glory into His very image. I'm thankful to the Lord so sweetly for people's testimonies. But oftentimes you'll find somebody that has the same testimony for their entire life. And they've never went on with God to have all of the other testimonies that the Lord wants for your life. And I thank God however Christ is preached. But I'll tell you one thing, I sure love the whole counsel of God and the wonderful victory someday that awaits those that will rule and reign together with Jesus Christ. But that is something to take here, that we need to be about forgetting those things which are behind and get back to Galilee, getting back onto the race course, continuing on, not to be distracted, as the Word of God says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching, pressing toward the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then really notice this here as we begin. This is very sweet. Jesus says He must needs go through Samaria. Now you would think, that must needs, that's a big thing. That's like divine will. That's like fully purposed. It's destiny, in a sense, in what the Word of God has. So you might think that this has got to be some amazing event. There's got to be something just so spectacular waiting for Jesus. And there was. But I know man would think of this and say, well, it was an opportunity for Jesus to really preach to tens of thousands of people. There was going to be a great revival. That's why he must needs get to that place. But actually, those that know the Word of God, it's very opposite. He had an appointment with just one woman. Just one woman. And one woman at a well. And this one woman, can you imagine, had been married 5 times. And this one woman was currently living with a man. Can you imagine that? That's the appointment Jesus had. Oh, I love Jesus. He's so wonderful. But praise be to God, He said He must go. There wasn't anything that was going to get in the way. That was the divine purpose and will of God. You talk about the before ordained good works that we should walk therein. Before He set a star in heaven, this must needs, this is even preceding that. That was even more pressing than that. Back in that day, praise God, when He was talking to the Father, that's a must need, son. And hallelujah, I'll be there. And praise be to God, we're going to find out that Jesus was even early. Hallelujah. He was sitting at the well waiting. Praise His name. But we thank God for this encouragement to our lives. But see, He must go, just like the must we've already read. You must be born again. Amen? We already read that He must increase. So He must needs go to her. See, whom He foreknew. Praise God. He foreknew. Even if she was the only one. But the Lord even stopped me. It's not even if she was the only one. It's as if she was the only one. You understand that? Your life is as if you are the only one with God. And know it. I don't know how He does it, but He just does it. But I know, praise God, that at times, hallelujah, yep, I'm the only one. And you do too. But it's all because of Him and how His marvelous love is. But He must needs, because she is going to receive the truth. Now, again, don't think it light how He has come to you. Again, if you are the only one, and it's as if you are the only one, He must needs. And He will come. Praise God. And I think about that testimony over and over. Every life here, I thank God for many of the ones that through the internet will email me throughout the week all over the world, expressing the thankfulness to God First and foremost, again, for salvation, but the ones that continue to go on that are so thankful for Paul's gospel. And I just sit there in amazement. And again, that's another must needs. And I'll tell you what, Jesus met them. And I thank God, again, that wonderful grace. But notice here, he meets her in the fifth verse in a place called Sychar. And this place means, Sychar means drunken liar. It's an interesting place for Jesus to go. Oh, we thought he would go to Bountiful and Goodness and the lovely place. No, he went to the place of the drunken liar. Not only did he go to the place of a drunken liar, he was meeting with a very shady person. This was somebody who was definitely not very well respected in the community. And that is the place of Jacob's well. And I'd like to take just a moment tonight to go back. We don't need to turn there. But this all transpires back in Genesis 33. This little parcel of land and this precious little well called Jacob's well. Right after Jacob wrestles with God, right after God gives him such a calling and says to Jacob, Jacob, your name will no longer be Jacob. It's going to be Israel. And as we spoke and rejoiced Sunday, Israel means God prevails. And I thank God that we still have Israel today, and we will have Israel tomorrow. And let me tell you something about Israel. God prevails. So I have news for everyone that they don't want to receive, and they won't receive. But I'll assure you, Revelation tells us the end of that story. God prevails. Very exciting time, and we're about and soon to approach on it. But instead of going on with God after such an amazing moment, Jacob gets to this place called Sychar, and he stops. After God has given him such a testimony, after God has spoken to him in such a precious way, he says, well, I think I've gone far enough. And so what Jacob does is he says, you know, I think I'm just going to maybe settle down. Take it a little bit easy. You know, I've got these kids and I got this family and this looks like a good place and we'll just kind of settle down here. But see, that wasn't what God was after. God wanted Jacob to go all the way. He had given him that anointing. He had given him that promise. And God's place for Jacob was one place, and that was Bethel. Get back to the house of God, Jacob. Your life will not sit right until you get back to Bethel. And but Jacob said, no, I think I'm going to just stay in the place of compromise. I think I'm just going to settle at the halfway house. Settle for less than what God desires me to have. And if you know about that story, that place where Jacob settles, that is the place where his daughter is raped. It's the place where his sons go basically nuts because of that and just have such an emotional move that they get out their swords and they just start killing everybody. And that's a place, again, where Jacob fears. Jacob was very good at fearing, just like you and just like me. And Jacob says, look what you guys have done. You know, pointing the blame on others. It wasn't my fault at all. But you've just turned all of these Canaanites and all of these Perizzites. And you know what? They're going to come and they're going to take everything that I've built and everything that I've done. And they're going to take my life. So this is this beautiful place and this beautiful woman that he must needs go to see. I just want to make sure we've got the real idea of what this is. And then you'll really have the great vision of the heart of your Savior. Praise God. But again, brothers and sisters, this is the place Jesus had to go for one life. The place of the drunken liar, the place of compromise, the place of disaster was just the place that Jesus was going to reveal himself to the woman of disgrace that he is the well of life. How wonderful, amen? Kind of sounds like your life and mine. How's that, amen? Praise the Lord. And that's exactly how he does it. The grace of God, Jacob's well, Israel's well. It's the place where God prevails. It's the place that will always be beauty for ashes. Always. And that's the way that God does it. Now let's go ahead and read verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now, Jesus is tired, and thank the Lord, he's a man. He's a very man. But even though he was tired, praise God, he waits for the appointment. He's always at the well. And know this, brothers and sisters, if we're ever intending to fellowship with Jesus, it's going to be one place in the Word of God. No other way. You'll never have it on any other terms. It's always going to be in the Word of God. The Father will always wait. But that prodigal is going to have to come home to the house of bread. The fellowship will always and only be in the house of bread. It won't be any other way. And by the grace of God, may we continue to make the move and to move for the things of God. And notice it's the sixth hour. The sixth hour speaks that it's late in the day. Let that speak to you. It's never too late. You're drawing breath. Praise God. Time to go. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for that. Don't listen to anybody else. You just listen to the Word of God. And then verses 7 through 9. So here comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And she says, or it says, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now, again, brothers and sisters, this is speaking of the individual walk. You'll notice that the disciples are gone, and this is just Jesus and this sweet woman. Praise be to God. We do go unto him without the camp. And thank the Lord, again, how he deals with us. But notice here, he asks her for a drink. But she's shocked. And she's shocked because she's saying, you know, we Samaritans basically are the lowlifes to you Jews. And it all started, brothers and sisters, with Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And those were the two kings at that time. Jeroboam was the king of Israel, the 10 tribes there, and Rehoboam was of Judah. Now, what had happened there was Jeroboam separated his kingdom up to the north. And when Jeroboam started under Solomon's hand, he, it says, was a mighty man of valor. I want you to understand that. He was a mighty man of valor. But things happened. And what things happened is he turned away from God. And he set up idols. And he set up false gods. And he went after them, and he wholly went after them. And I thought that one time, you know, he so despised the things of the Lord that he would even take the low, in a sense, just anybody, the lowest of the people, in a sense, not the lowest financially or anything of that nature, but the ones that were very ungodly, and put them into the places that they would be ones leading this the things of worship. And it was very sad how much his heart turned against the things of God. Now, in that, he was turned over to complete wickedness before God. And years later, the Assyrians came in there and basically overtook them, and they basically interbred with those ones. And that was where we got the Samaritans. And that is why the Jews referred to the Samaritans as dogs or half-breeds, because they were infiltrated again by another people. And it was known that any good standing Jew would certainly not allow a Samaritan to even touch them. So again, what a setting that we have here. We have a woman that is so low in the Samaritan society that none of the Samaritans would have anything to do with her. And that's the truth. That's why she's out there at night alone going to this well. She's been shunned even by the community of dogs. I think he's really trying to emphasize a point here. Amen? Yes, praise God. And thanks be to God, he said, I must go. And I'm going to be there early and waiting for her. Isn't that a wonderful heart? Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. Amen? Well, I tell you, God help us to be lovers of the truth. But here's what it's all about. And let's go ahead and read verses 10 through 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof of himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Praise God. And I thank the Lord for all of the witness that's in this precious passage. But see, what's being emphasized here, again, is such the tradition that this woman was caught into. This thinking, again, that it's going to be of the old and the ordinances that are going to be her satisfier. But praise be to God, what Jesus is introducing here is the new has come to take away the old. And turn on over to Hebrews, and we'll rejoice a little bit in some scriptures as we go along here. But in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13, in Hebrews 8, 13, it says, in that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old, and now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish. And praise the Lord, he is again testifying to this sweet woman of the new that has come. And then in chapter 12, verse 24 of Hebrews, it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See, all things have become new. All by and through him, the living water, the life. And brothers and sisters, may we know nothing can be satisfied in drinking from the old things. You think about what's being stirred up in Christianity today. And it's so sad. It's just like those Pharisees trying to stir up about the baptism. Christianity, a lot of things are starting to bring back and stir up the Jewish customs, bringing it back into the meetings that somehow, some way, this is going to make us feel better, or we need to adhere to this. The ceremonies, the ordinances, the law, what Jesus is testifying here, honey, if you're going to stay in that stuff, it's always going to leave you not just thirsty, but it's going to make you more thirsty. And you're going to come back and back again, and it's a thirst that will never be quenched. So let's go on back to John 4. Isn't it amazing how sweet the Word just answers all of it? We'll read some other scriptures here tonight. But brothers and sisters, I am so thankful for the type and the shadow and all of that symbolism that came. But it is finished. And I thank God we have a new covenant. And we have better, exceeding great promises. And I thank the Lord that he has fulfilled it all. And the high priest has entered into heaven and is sat down at the right hand of God. And you know what? It's good. Hallelujah. And he is worthy to be praised. So we thank him and pray for people. It's not something to argue about. Don't ever get into that. But just pray for folks because they need to be prayed for when they get caught into these things. But verse 14 of John 4. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Isn't that amazing about the water he gives you? It's in you. Isn't that wonderful? See, that's Christ that lives in you. The life you now live. Christ liveth in me. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's why it's always springing up. It's there. Praise God. Just got to believe the word of God. Allow that spirit to reign. Praise God. And how wonderful it is. But see, this well springing up is the life of Christ in us. Brothers and sisters, we need to believe the word of God that it's all there. We are little lords of all. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. That well lives in me. Hallelujah. Christ liveth in me. Praise God. And all the hope of glory. Think of that. All the hope of glory is Christ in you. Wonderful springing up. And that means gushing up into everlasting life. God help us to just get it. That we have his very life that lives in us. And to let him live and to walk in the Spirit. And praise God, what a conquering life it is. The enemy wants to do anything and everything, obviously, to tell us otherwise. The enemy, all he's trying to do is to get us to slumber to the things of God. To turn, incline our ear to something else. To have something else try to satisfy us. But even as Christians, brothers and sisters, I am so thankful to God. You'll never be satisfied by anything but how you live. You live by the faith of the Son of God. It's the Word of God. And I thank the Lord how His Word does not return void unto Him. I thank God how, you know what, He chastens His sons. And that means He corrects them. He loves them. I thank God for the promises of God that my life and your life, our children's life, it will not sit right until they yield to God. Amen. And thank God for that. Just pray that we can trust the Lord to bear it as we go through these things. But brothers and sisters, we can do all things through that precious life. We can do all things through Him. And Jesus showed us this so sweetly, even as living as man for 33 years, by his Spirit, believing we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I thank the Lord for that intimacy and testimony of the life of Jesus. Now going on to verse 15. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. I like her. Isn't that good? This is quick to believe. She says, give it to me. Isn't that wonderful? She's not bashful. She said, man, this guy's talking to me. I don't know if anybody's talked to her for a long time. Nobody's ever come out to that well when she's there. But this Jew did. And he's telling me about something, praise God, that I've never heard of before. But there's something quickening in her. That she didn't hesitate. And God help us not to hesitate. And I always love that testimony. I thank the Lord of that testimony of Sweet Herbie back there in Missouri. As he'd testify about how he would hear the things of God and how sweetly simple it was to his life. He went into that revival and he said, you mean this Jesus loves me like that and salvation's that free? He says, well, I need that. And he was saved. And then he went on with God and started hearing about deeper things of God. And he heard about the Holy Ghost. And he said, my goodness, the Bible says that. He said, I need that. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then after he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he's just telling you as sweet and simple as it is, he said, I began to hear the bridal truth, began to hear about Jesus in this age and this what this is all about. It's about a rib portion that's going to be taken out of the body of Christ. Ones that aren't slumbering, that are looking and loving his appearing. And he said, oh Jesus, I need that. And he said, and you know what, brother? He's been doing it in me ever since. So praise God. Amen? So this sweet sister, she's sure testifying to that. She says, give me this water. And you know what? She got it. He kept saying, this drink which I give. And I'll tell you what, she took him at his word. She didn't say, well, can I please have it? What can I do to get it? She said, man, he just said, I give it. Okay, give it to me. And she got it. And notice what she said too in this, which was so sweet. So that I don't thirst or come hither to draw anymore. She was tired. She knew whatever she was doing wasn't working. Thank the Lord for a heart that is sincere before God. Let that be encouraging to us. When it ain't changing by God's grace, something's hard in here. Know it. That broken heart and contrite spirit, let that be what you embrace more than anything your entire life. That's your trophy. Amen? That's your trophy. That when you have a success in the Lord, that you truly know in that broken heart that, Lord, you're so good. And I in no way deserve this. And I know in no way this could ever even happen. But it was the grace of God that is with me. The grace of God that is with me. And I thank you, Lord, continue to bring that heart. That's the heart. See, he gives grace to the humble. That's the heart by God's grace that we completely disappear. And all that is seen is him. But she said, I don't want to thirst anymore. I don't want to come here and draw this anymore. She was tired of those self-works. She knew that it wasn't accomplishing a thing. She knew and faced up, I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. She needed the living water. Praise God. That's where we need to be all the time. Hallelujah. Verses 16 through 21. Let's go ahead and read those. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me. The hour comes when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Oh, this is some wonderful word. Praise God. And this is some wonderful encouragement. See, Jesus points out, he's all-knowing. Amen. He knows it. Don't try to fool God. Don't. Don't try to act humble. Don't try to show him self-pity. Why we're a certain way. He knows you. And you're not gonna con him. I've been there. I know that. He knows us. He knows our past. He knows our downsetting, our uprising. And he knows the sinner. But in that great love wherewith we are loved, praise God, he must go. And there was no stopping his love. But I want to note something here in verse 16, because it's going to set us up, God willing, for next week. There's a little bit more here. Mm-hmm. What is literally being said, if you go and we search this a little further, he's saying her to now go call with a loud voice, where he says there about getting her husband. See where he said, Jesus say to her, go call thy husband and come hither. Sure, he was obviously expressing, there's many layers here. Don't just try to think there's one. And again, we are just looking at the surface. We haven't even scratched it. And that's not being humble. That's just being what it is. But what literally is being said is he's saying to her, go call with a loud voice to your future husband. It's exactly what she's saying. He's saying to her. And I'll tell you what. And then he says, notice this. Go call with a loud voice to your future husband and come here. You know, he gets to mining deep right away, doesn't he? And I thank the Lord how he testifies of this immediately. And why not, brothers and sisters, in this fourth chapter, God willing, we come to the 23rd verse. And we're going to read there where it says, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship him in spirit and in truth. So you know right where he's going. Is this isn't just some formal worship anymore where you come to Jerusalem for ceremony. Oh, no, no, no. Honey, there's going to be a veil that's going to be rent in twain. And I'll tell you what, you come boldly in there, and then you find out what's really in there. And then if that heart is in you, by the grace of God, the true worshiper might even come forth. That sincere one that worships, and now this word worship is taking on a whole different meaning as we go forth. That worship means to draw nigh in fervent love is to kiss. This is the call of the intimacy of the bride of Christ. This is why he says to her at this time, woman, go call with a loud voice. Huh? I read in the word of God, I think them that take it by force, don't they? Oh, yes. If by any means, what does that mean to you? Huh? What is endure hardness as a good soldier? What does that mean to you? She's a lover, and she's also a fighter. She's a warrior. Praise God. And this is what it is. He says, you go call to that future husband with a loud voice. Come here. Huh? My goodness, what was standing before her. Amen? Praise God. Don't know what this sweet woman received, you know? Who knows? But what a testimony and a ministry that was coming forth. Praise God. But this is what it's setting up for. And then in 20 and 21, we'll kind of close up with this here tonight. He sets it up for more of the new. See, she was still stuck a little bit in the ceremony. You know, as she says, well, you know, we go worship in Jerusalem in the place where men ought to worship. Now the Lord knew her heart. She stuck there. The place where worship was always held, the ordinances. But he was telling her real bluntly there and clearly, oh, honey, that's not going to be any longer. The hour now is. I'm going for the true worshipers. The Spirit is searching for those that worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise his name. Now, I want us to close with just a few verses of this to be reminded and how finished it is and the new that we have. And let's go on back to Hebrews. And we'll pick it up here again this next Wednesday. And next Wednesday, I'll tell you what, you talk about a bridal message that he has finishing up through that fourth chapter. It's just marvelous. But you know what? I'd sure love him to tell us face to face, so that'd be just fine too. But in chapter 10 of Hebrews, in verse 1, think of this. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Do you see what an abomination that is to God to continue to have that remembrance? Because, see, he gave his son for this. And that's why, by the grace of God, get away from that ceremony and those types of things. See, in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year when God gave his son freely for the sins of all men. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Now, go on down to verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Amen. Let that really speak to you when you're going through a hard time. When you failed, you don't go to him asking him to forgive your sin. You go thanking him that you're forgiven. But you ask him by the grace of God to let you incline thine ear, incline your heart to the things of God. All right? That's what we need to be seeking him for. That power of the Spirit, praise God, to walk in it. So then, in verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Think of that. And let that just saturate in you. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by what? My membership in a church? How much I know? How good I've been? What they call me? What my title is? By one thing, by the blood of Jesus. And if the blood of Jesus is on you tonight, praise God, then I'll tell you what, welcome into the holiest. Praise the Lord. Amen. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. You see what that true heart is? It's faith. And it's the full assurance of faith. Sincere in believing in the word of God. Not in anything about who I am, what I've done, what I can do, but what he did. In a true heart, in full assurance of faith, I draw near to him, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Oh, that's good stuff. Let's go finish this up tonight in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4, verse 9. Paul getting after these ones. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. Then go on over to the 30th and 31st verse. Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? Amen? Man, that's a wonderful statement. Never forget that. May we, by the grace of God, live by it. What saith the Scriptures? Not what saith my denomination. Not what saith my upbringing. Not what saith my feeling, my brain. But what saith the Scriptures? Know the Word of God. Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? And here's what the Scriptures say. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. And I'll tell you what, that's a tough one. It is. You feel so sorry. That's just mean. How can we cast her out? Because I told you. Doesn't make sense. But I told you. You hang on to that stuff, a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. And I'm so grateful to God for Sarah, for grace. Boy, and I'll tell you, Abraham, I'm sure looked at her and thought, my gosh, she's gone mad. She was this sweet little thing, and now, my goodness, what has happened? The grace of God has come. And there's not going to be any flesh around here. The grace of God has come. And there's not going to be any works around here. The grace of God has come. And the bondwoman and her son is not going to be around here. Cannot be. Oh, this is exciting. So again, nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And whom he has made free is free indeed. And praise be to God, like that sweet woman said, give me to drink. Amen? Give me to drink. And all of us tonight, just keep drinking. What can I render unto the Lord? Take of the cup of salvation. Take of the cup of salvation. And drink. And you will be so glad you did. So glad. Not just someday, but today. Those things that might be hampering you even tonight, these things that might have been on you for some time, you're concerned, worried, in guilt or fretting about, or all of these different things, just take the cup of salvation and drink. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's stand and let's be dismissed.